All right, more and more people are getting annoyed and upset with their cable provider as they can't come to contract agreements with TV stations, TV companies, which means more and more people can't get their favorite channels. Dom Caristi, he's a TCOM professor at Ball State University, here to talk about this. Dom, I'm seeing AT&T no longer has Tegna stations. So if you're in the Indianapolis market, if you have AT&T or UVerse, you can no longer get WTHR, the NBC affiliate. Last night, we just found out Nexstar and Dish can't come to an agreement. So if you have Dish and live in Indy, you can't get Fox 59 or CBS 4. So what is the cause of this? Is there a main reason why a lot of these cable providers and TV companies can't reach a contract agreement and it's all happening all at the same time?
Yes, sir. It's a 30-year-old law is the answer. It's retransmission consent was something that was created back in 1990, and the idea was that cable providers had to get permission to carry local stations. They could, they were getting stations for free and not paying for them, and the station said, wait a minute, you're charging customers for our signal, you're getting the money, and we're not getting any of it. So Congress created this kind of compromise, all right, where every 3 years, stations negotiate with these multi-program providers. Dish and Direct aren't really cable systems, they're satellite, but they work the same way. So what we're seeing is one of these three-year periods where they have to renegotiate, and I'm sure you're going to be shocked, Rob. It's all about money.
Which, during a pandemic, I can assume, it makes it a little more difficult, right?
Right, absolutely. And if we had, a Congress that would act, they could institute a temporary suspension for an unusual time where they say, no, the carriage will be permitted even through this time. But the stations don't want that. The stations want extra leverage right now, right? So now is the time to try and get what they can. You mentioned the battles with Tegna and with Nexstar. Keep in mind that Wish TV has been off of DirecTV now. Gosh, has it been a year? I'm not exactly sure. It's been quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. And I can attest to that because I have AT&T. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah, it's been a while with Wish and now with THR. I know my fiance, we live together. She's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and we have AT&T. Mm-hmm. So she was pretty mad yesterday that she couldn't watch the game on TV, but then she remembered, oh, we have the NBC app on Roku, so thankfully she was still able to watch the game. She was pretty happy about that. But I think that's another point here is there are so many different streaming options and all these apps now for people in today's world. Is it fair to say that because of these disagreements with TV companies and cable providers and a lot more people are switching to the streaming apps, the streaming services?
Right, exactly. eMarketer predicts that 6 million people will stop paying for cable and satellite this year. That's just this year, right? The whole business model is shifting. The history lesson is, I'm sorry, you probably don't want this, but the history lesson is, when networks started, ABC, CBS, and NBC fed programs to TV stations across the country, and that was the only way that NBC and CBS and ABC could get their shows seen in Indianapolis.
Right.
Well, guess what? That's not true anymore, right?
Yeah.
ABC doesn't need Channel 6. ABC can get to households with Disney Plus, with ESPN Plus, with, and Hulu. Disney is a part owner in Hulu. There's way too many options now that this whole local station, network affiliate, and cable systems, a business model that was actually evolved from the 50s through the 70s, is now really at risk.
Do you know, is there any research or results of a survey or something? I'm curious, would people rather spend the money on all these different apps than, you know, AT&T or Dish or, you know, any of these cable providers? Would more people, are we, is that where we're heading, where people are like, you know what, I'm fine paying $9.99 a month for ESPN Plus and $12.99 for Hulu and, you know, all these different, is that the future? Are people okay with that?
Well, you're going to get the professor's answer. It's a mix. It depends. Younger people are quite content paying for one or two or even three over-the-top services, streamers. And again, some of these streaming services are available for free if they're willing to tolerate the advertising, right? But this is the shakeout that's happening right now. It might surprise you, Rob, there are 300 different streaming services that are available.
Wow.
Some of them are you know, program specific. You know, PBS has their own streamer, right? And all different. It was announced just this week that Discovery is starting a $4.99 a month a streaming service in the new year. So nobody's going to subscribe to all 300, but each of these streamers hope to carve out a section of their own. The key in the future is going to be, you know, nobody today complains, well, there are 300 cable channels, I can't find what I want. The idea is you need the universal search service, kind of like the Google, that will allow you to find the program you want on the service you want. And that in the future is going to be one of the keys to making a streamer successful, is that you have the kind of content that people are going to want to access. You know, everybody knows today Netflix is the 800-pound gorilla. Do we know that that's going to be the case in 10 years? I wouldn't bet on it. There are a lot of very powerful streamers getting in the business. You know, when you've got Comcast, which owns NBC, which has created Peacock, which is available as a free service or a paid service, has a whole lot of content at its disposal, right? When you talk about a Disney, think of all the content that they have available to them. And of course, Disney owns ESPN. So add those together. There are going to be a lot of streamers competing for people's attention.
That was going to be my next question, is does it depend on what these companies have to offer? You know, if you are a big fan of sports and Disney movies, then obviously you're going to have you're going to have Disney Plus. You know, but if, you know, your favorite TV show is on NBC and they have all the episodes and all the seasons on Peacock, then you would purchase that, right? So it's kind of a pick and choose, right? It just depends on what you like.
But this is, you know, here's the irony. Be careful what you wish for, because you may get it. People have complained about cable packages. I don't want to pay $100 a month and get all these channels I don't want. I just want to pay for the five or six channels that I want to watch. Well, guess what? That's what's coming, right? We look at ESPN as if it's one channel, but you know, Major League Baseball can stream games to you. The NFL can stream games to you. The NHL can stream games to you. Each one of those could be a separate paid service, and they already are, right? I mean, you can get a special baseball streaming package and watch every game of your favorite team, even if you're out of market, right? Here in Indianapolis, if you happen to be from South Florida and want to watch the Marlins play, you can see every one of their games streamed live for a price.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we're talking with Dom Christie. He's a TCOM professor at Ball State. Dom, is there anything else you want to add, anything else that you think is important that we should hit on?
Well, I think that cable industry is worried, and I think that the over-the-air broadcast industry is worried. And you can see that what they're doing is trying to create these kinds of alliances or, I don't know, hybrids of what they used to be and what they want to be. And it looks like the world is going streaming and they all want to get on board.
So let me ask you this. Let me put you on the spot. Do you think the days of cable are soon to be over?
No. I think they will be dramatically reduced. You know, once upon a time, cable was a service that was available in 80% of American homes. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see if it were only available in 40% in 10 years.
Because everyone's cutting the cord.
Yeah. A lot of people will say, the heck with it, I'll just subscribe to the two or the three over-the-top services that I want and be done with it. But there will still be a market for the I want this smorgasbord of programs, of channels, and yes, I'll pay a monthly fee for the whole package.
Gotcha. Dom Christie, telecommunications professor at Ball State University. Thank you so much, Tom.
Rob, it's always a pleasure. Take care.